Imagine being handed a to-do list and being told that you must complete all of the items on the list. I know this isn't very hard to imagine because for most people, this has been a reality at some point in life. But now imagine that same to-do list presented to you in a way that seems gamified. To be able to check this activity off your list, you get to play a card game with the content. And to check this activity off of the list, you get to work with a group of peers to solve a problem. That's exactly what it is like for students who are given a choice in the classroom. This week's guest has mastered the art of providing choice in the math classroom through Math Workshop. Jennifer Joshen from Smith Curriculum and Consulting helps teachers by developing interactive and engaging math activities and lessons that can be used in all classrooms for any learner. As a consultant, she also provides professional development to train teachers in the benefits of interactive notebooks, math workshop, and other interactive learning methods. Grab your notebook because if starting with Math Workshop is on your radar, or even if you have already been running a Math Workshop in your classroom, I have no doubt you will learn something new from this conversation. I am excited to let you know that I am hosting a free online event called Math Madness for upper elementary math teachers. If you are listening to this before March 27th, 2024, you still have time to register to get access to tons of free resources, insider details about exclusive sales, and chances to win prizes in our free Facebook group. If you are not already a member of the Facebook group, now is the time to join, because not only will there be prize giveaways happening in there throughout the event, but I will also be posting updates about the event directly to the group members. You can join by searching Upper Elementary Simplified on Facebook or by clicking the link in the show notes and requesting to join that way. Either way, we would love to have you. Registration for Math Madness will be open from February 18th through March 26th. To get registered for the event, head to teachertechstudio.com/register, and that's R-E-G-I-S-T-E-R. I will also link that in the show notes for you. You can find that link by going to the episode description in your podcast player app, or by heading to upperelementarysimplified.com/podcast. I hope to see you there. Welcome to Upper Elementary Simplified, the podcast where busy and overwhelmed teachers find thoughtful ideas to get students engaged in meaningful learning experiences. Hi, I'm Dana Rodebush, former fifth grade classroom teacher and founder of Teacher Tech Studio. I'm here to share practical tips and strategies that will help you grow as an educator. If you are a tired upper elementary teacher searching for ways to cut down your planning time while boosting student engagement, you are in the right spot. Are you ready? Let's simplify. Jennifer, welcome to the show. Please tell my audience a little bit about you and how you serve the education community.
Thank you for having me. I am in my 20th year of education, and currently I am a curriculum designer and consultant, and I provide services to districts and teachers around the nation, and I mean technically world when you count virtually and things like that, by creating interactive and engaging resources, but also helping to train and enlist them on using interactive and engaging methods in their classroom to reach their learners in new and different ways. Because as we know, teaching now in 2024 is different than it was in 2003 when I started.
Awesome. That is absolutely true. I didn't get my start until I got my start late. So, but even now from 2015, when I started in education, it's a lot different. So yes, I totally feel you. I love that you are into the interactive learning That is so fun. So talk a little bit specifically about why you decided on a math workshop model. What made you choose the math workshop model?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't choose it. So I first had my teaching background in elementary. I taught fifth, then down to second, and then up to middle school. And when I was in second grade, it was required. Like, we were required to do reading workshop. We were required to do math workshop. And it was one of those things. It was a pain every week coming up with four different stations and going over them on Monday and making sure my kids got through all the stations and got through the rotations. And when they were absent, okay, was it necessary that they make up the station, or could I excuse it? And it was just, and I was young then. You know, I was in my 20s and I was like, okay, this is a pain point. Well, when I moved up to middle school, originally I didn't do it. I was focusing on interactive notebooks wholeheartedly at that time. And that's where my focus was. But I started using math workshop in my classroom and I saw a difference when I did that. And I saw it as my students started to buy in on things because I was letting them work in groups, which we know middle schoolers love to do. Like, anything they can do in a group, they'll do it because they get to be with their, at least some of their friends or someone they'll talk to. And seeing them be successful and actually wanting to do math encouraged me to be, okay, how do I consistently keep this going? And then I left the classroom to focus strongly on my business. But during that time is when I was doing a lot more research and a lot more in-depth understanding of the changes in math workshop for over the 20 years. And what the research was saying. And that's when I went back to the classroom 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago now, I implemented the choice model and my success with my students skyrocketed.
I love that. I love that. So I'm sure over time, your implementation, like you said, of math workshop has evolved a lot. So talk a little bit about those changes that you have made over the years.
So like I said, in the beginning, it was a four station rotation and I was part of that and I was part of the rotation. So it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We would go through the stations and I would see the students and it was just round and round we go. And it was every single week, the singing format, and it got redundant and boring. And of course you would have those students who at 8 years old, they don't remember if they ate breakfast that morning, much less the directions on what they're supposed to do. And when I went on to do that with middle school, no, that wasn't happening. They had eight classes a day. They weren't going to remember what I expected from Monday through Friday. And plus, there just wasn't time for it to work that way. And with 27, 30 bodies in a classroom, it just didn't function like that. So that is part of what made me switch to the choice model, because I could prep a unit's worth of activities at one time and give them a choice board, kind of like a bingo board or a tic-tac-toe board, and they could work through those activities at their own speed. And when I was pulling them, that was a big change too. They weren't rotating into teacher table. They were being pulled to teacher table. That way, when I was pulling them, they were able to focus on the activity with me, but then still have time later to either go finish that activity during the whole time that we were working on that one choice board. Because it wasn't just 1 week. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 3 weeks. It could be a whole month that we're working on one choice board.
That is so awesome. So do you have any tips for differentiation when using a math workshop model that also provides student choice?
I do. And that, let me explain my choice boards a little bit first. So my choice boards are very concept based. So say unit one is the number system. Then all of those skills that I taught in the number system, whether it be converting fractions, decimals, and percents, adding and subtracting with positive and negative numbers, multiplying and dividing with fractions, all of those concepts are on that one choice board. So it's not just one concept or one standard. It is a unit of concepts. And so whether the board is tic-tac-toe style and has 9 spaces or 16 spaces, you know, depends on how long we're working on it. That whole board is covered with those concepts. And as we all know, differentiation is not just the key, it is necessary, because we've got students of all ability levels and all pacing levels in our classroom. What I started to do on my choice boards, and it's actually, when we get to talk about the freebie, it's one of the freebies that are in there, is I gave each spot on the choice board a star value. So I would tell different students, hey, I need you, while we're working on this choice board, to earn 9 stars, or I need you to earn 12 stars, or I need you to earn 16 stars. And so that way it was independent for every student. I'm also, you know, being special ed certified as well, I'm also of the thought process that every student should have an IEP. That's a whole different conversation, because we all need individualized learning, not just some of us. So that is how I provide a differentiation, but not only in the way that every activity was given a different star level, basically based on the depth of knowledge. So a lower depth of knowledge, a lower star level; a higher depth of knowledge, a higher star level. But it also, because they got to choose what they were doing, they were self-differentiating. So if they're working with their group of 3 to 4 people, or, you know, however many people are in their group, and they're deciding, they're self-differentiating as a group, like, hey, let's work on this card game today instead of this problem-solving thing. So they're self-differentiating as well. Like, what can I give my 100% to today? I only have 30% to give, so maybe a card game is what we work on today. Mm-hmm. Or today, I have 80% to give. Let's work on this problem-solving choice.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I try to model that with them as well. Like, give what you can. Give 100% of what you have, and I will give it right back to you.
Yeah. I love your star system. That reminds me of several years back, maybe like in my second or third, I used to do a workshop model as well. And I tried to do some differentiation like that. And it just, like, it was really hard to get it organized for me. And I love your star system. I think that's really, really neat. And I would have liked to try something like that out. Can you talk a little bit about your editable choice board that you have for free? Like, how do teachers insert their own activities? What does that look like?
Okay, so it is a completely editable PDF. So all the title and the, you know, the formatting is all there. You simply just go and type in to the boxes what you want each of the different boxes to be and print it out. That's it.
That is awesome.
I am completely of the mindset of work smarter, not harder. So that, I mean, is, you know, once you've chosen your activities that are to last your unit, then you got them done. And, you know, yes, it takes time to prep them the first time around. But once you've got it prepped the first time around, you don't have to prep it again. You don't have to change it. You don't have to make things different and make, you know, yeah, you can freshen things up if you want to, or change out one different thing, or, you know, this, or, hey, that activity just bombed. overwhelmed with my kids. Let me replace it. But you're not changing everything. So you're making your life so much easier.
I love that. I love
taking
that.
Back your sanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I will definitely link in the show notes to where our listeners can get those editable choice boards. That sounds really, really helpful. So when students are working in stations and you are working with a small group, how are you making sure that your students at stations are using their time effectively and staying on task? That is like the million-dollar question.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I do, but I'm going to tell you it's not always perfect because kids are kids.
Exactly.
So when I am introducing math workshop, like we're talking beginning of the year, after a long break, all of those times when we're going back over expectations, I have a 4-week drop process with my students. So like first week, we're doing all the same activity in every group. I'm walking around, I'm monitoring, and I'm praising. There is no negative at all. Like there's nothing negative. Now, if a fight breaks out, yes, I'm going to have to stop things and do that. The reason I say no negative is because what happens when students hear a negative reaction? Everybody stops and they want to see what's going on. They want to be nosy now. Okay. Week two comes around. Week two, now we're doing two activities between all of our groups. So group one and two are doing activity one. Group three and four are doing activity two. Again, I'm walking around. I'm monitoring. I'm praising. Pause there because let me go back. Before we've even done this, I've created an anchor chart with them. And my anchor chart has four sections. What math workshop looks like, sounds like, what my job is, and what their job is. And I will tell you right now, make that 4-quadrant anchor chart, laminate it before you even go through it. Do it with dry erase with all your class periods for those of us that have multiple class periods. And then once you've created it with all of your classes, go back over it in Sharpie and create a nice one. That's my tip for all anchor charts that you have to create multiple times.
I love that. Okay.
Week three. Okay. Now we're still doing two stations, but we're rotating them. So group one and two are doing activity one. Group three and four are going to do activity two. And then halfway through, we're going to swap those activities. Or if the class can handle it, we're going to start swapping the groups. So like the activities stay, the groups stay. You know your kids. Can your kids move or do the activities have to move? That's something you have to like start plan. You're doing that as you're monitoring. And then in week four, we're doing four full activities, full on rotation. I am not pulling kids during these first 4 weeks because I want to make sure they know what the expectations are. Now, when it does come time for me to start pulling my small group, that's where that anchor chart comes into play. We have a looks like and we have a sounds like section. I can look at a kid, I could point to my eye, and they know they're not doing something on the looks like side. Or I can tug on my ear and I can, that's my sounds like cue. Hey, it sounds like you're not doing something that you're supposed to be doing. And I'll jot it down on a post-it note and I'll get with that kid later because I'm not going to yell across the room and say, hey, Billy, you are not talking appropriately in your math group. I say Billy because that's my husband's name. And he's right here in front of me.
Love it.
Because then if I do that, my whole class is stopping. We're wasting class time. We're wasting math time. I will take care of that on my own. Now, if Billy's not looking at me, I guarantee Sally's looking at me and that group and like Ms. Joshin, this kid. And I will say, I will look at Sally and I will make the notion for her to tap on. You know, there's some universal signs. And we know that little tap, tap, tap means like tap on them, get their attention to me. And I can make that, I can give them that teacher face and I can give my little tugging on my ear and I'm watching you and they know. Now, it's not always perfect, but I'm going to guarantee you when you're strong and you're strict with it to begin with and word gets out, ooh, Billy got in trouble today with Miss Joshin and she didn't even have to say anything. They know. They know. And I'm going to tell you, it's not always perfect. There are some kids who are just not having a good day. And building that relationship where a kid's going to have to come up, will come to you and say, hey, Ms. Joshin, I don't think I can work in groups today. I'm just not having a day, not having a good day. Guess what? Let them go pick an activity that can be done by themselves. Let them have that choice. They've advocated for themselves and said, hey, if you force me into my group today, it's not going to be a good thing. Let them be their own advocate. That is one of my big things that I taught with my middle school kids is be your own advocate, because I don't know what's going on up here or in here, your heart or your head. Only you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that.
Helps solve a lot of behavior issues from ever even happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I love it's like a kind of a gradual release of all of those math workshop steps. I think that might be where I went wrong sometimes when I was in the classroom because.
Oh, I did it.
Yeah,
I let them go.
Yeah, I let them go just a little bit.
These 7-8 year olds know everything. Yeah. In first grade, they know how to do it.
Of course. Yeah. I just probably let them go a little bit too soon. And then it just never was right after that. So yeah, I think that's really, really helpful to hear that. So what advice do you have for any teacher who is thinking about getting started with a math workshop model in their classroom?
Do it.
I mean,
you're doing small group activities anyways. You're doing, reteach, RTI. You're doing all these things anyways. Do it all at the same time. Do it to where students get their RTI with you. They get time to work with others. Bring it in small pieces. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to do it every day. Most of the time in my class, it was twice a week. I could not fit it in every single day with, even when I had double block classes, there was so much to do in my math curriculum that there wasn't feasible. So do what you can when you can. If you've got 15 minutes, if you've got 20 minutes, that's time for one station. That's time to pull a group, maybe even two groups. Use that small group time to your advantage. There were 7 football players absent last week because they had to leave early to go to a game. Guess what? You've got to get them caught up. So there's your small groups that day, is getting those football players caught up because they had to leave early for a game. For your lower level teachers, you had 6 kids out for COVID last week. Again, you've got to get them caught up. So now this is their time to get caught up during your small group time and letting those other students have a choice of doing activities that they are at or near mastery. Again, that's the thing on choice board I haven't brought up, is the activities that are on the choice board are not current thinking. They are things that they've already been presented with. They are typically, what I did was a unit behind. So when I moved on to my equations unit, my expressions and equations unit, that's when they got activities from the number systems unit. When I was beginning of a school year, I was using activities from the previous grade level. If you see your kids are frustrational in multiplication skills, that can be stations incorporated in every single unit because they need it. And I'm going to tell you, even my 7th and 8th graders needed it. My 5th graders needed it. My 8th graders need it even when they have a calculator accessible to them, because there is just some multiplication that should be rote. We should know that 5 times 4 is 20. We should know the basics and not have to use a calculator for them. So that's a big thing too, because when you're giving them skills that they are near mastery on or already past mastery on, they're not going to cause issues behaviorally. Back to the previous question, they're not going to interrupt you like, hey, I don't understand this, because even if they don't understand it, somebody in their group does.
Absolutely. Yes. All right. So, is there anything that you would like to add that we haven't already covered?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I'm very, I get pumped about Math Workshop, and I could talk about it day in, day out. And I do, when I do professional development with different groups around the world, United States and things like that. And it's just, there's different nuances of it. But my big thing is just step in and do it.
That's good advice. You've given lots of great tips today and making me wish that I could go back and do things a little bit differently. So please go ahead and tell my audience where they can find you if they want to connect with you.
Well, my biggest presence is probably Instagram or TikTok, where my name is Jennifer S. Joshen, Jochen. I typically spend my time there. I do have a Facebook page, which is Smith Curriculum and Consulting, and you can follow me there. And then I have an email list where I reach out to teachers regularly about different tips and tricks and strategies to use in the classroom, as well as freebies. And I know you'll be linking to that, in the show notes.
I absolutely will. I will link to that and your social media. And Jennifer, I super appreciate you being here today to talk to us about Math Workshop. It was a great conversation.
You.
And Jennifer is going to be one of our teacher contributors of Math Madness, which is coming up here in just a few weeks. So be sure and check the link out in the show notes to get your free ticket for that. And Jennifer, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Upper Elementary Simplified. I hope you are able to take away something useful that will help you grow as a teacher. I do have a quick favor to ask before you go. If you are enjoying the podcast, please let me know by leaving me a review. It really does make a difference because reviews impact search results, which helps me to expand my reach to other educators. Plus, I love to read my listeners' comments. Until next time, keep life simple.